Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the C-Squared Podcast. Your host Curtis with my co-host Aaliyah, and we are here today to discuss a very important topic because it's just the two of us. And don't mind my intro, I'm not feeling the greatest today. But this is perfect because it ties in with the topic that we are going to be talking about, which Aaliyah, I'm going to have introduce and kind of get the discussion rolling here. But it's a good one, and hopefully you guys enjoy the topic here.
Yeah, so I really wanted to talk today about hustle culture versus balance. And I guess it's on topic because Curtis is sick and he made himself sick by being too busy.
That's not true. That is definitely not true.
No. But I think it's a good, you know, think that the COVID pandemic, you know, a lot of people ended up stepping back from music. You may have noticed, like, a lot of famous musicians, even like bigger time musicians stepping back from their music careers after COVID, because COVID, it gave them an opportunity to, well, it forced them to slow down and think about what they were doing and ask themselves whether it was bringing them what they wanted in their lives. And so yeah, I think it's unfortunate that people have to be, sometimes people can get so busy with their careers and their goal setting and accomplishments that they forget to ask whether it's really making them happy. And so yeah, I thought that it would be an interesting topic to bring up, also because I had found like a couple YouTube channels this week that really inspired me and made me take a step back as well. And yeah, I think it's very trendy right now, and maybe it always has been, like, this idea of getting everything done as efficiently as possible and getting as much done in a day that you possibly can. And while there is value to that, it does have drawbacks as well, depending on your personality type and what you're built for. So,
well, I'm happy to start off my opinion on this, because I'm 50-50 on it. I like to do stuff. I don't like to sit around. I just don't like doing it. I'm not one of those type of people that likes to just sit around watching TV all day. I don't mind watching TV, but I mean, an hour a day max, you know. Usually sometimes on the weekend I'll do like a couple hours, you know. You know, but I've personally never really been big on, you know, leisure time type stuff, because it's just, to me, it just seems like, I don't know, I'm just one of those type of people. I like it, but too much of it, and I just kind of feel like I'm going insane.
Yeah.
And I just don't like it after a bit. Like, I do, but there's a limit for me, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Totally. And I mean, I don't even think that that's necessarily the answer. Like, I think one thing that I've seen happening amongst, like, friends and YouTubers even, and so I'm seeing it from afar and up close, because some of my personal friends have done this as well, is that they're moving away from civilization in a way. They're moving to a rural area where they have to build a house from scratch, dig a well, you know, get all their utilities put in. They're trying to live a life that's closer to the earth, and it's a little more slow, but it isn't less work.
That's
it's
way more
work. Yeah. It's just slower. Yeah. And yeah, so I think that that's more like the dichotomy that I'm talking about. Now, yeah, of course people can get their leisure from playing video games and watching. I mean, what I'm talking about isn't even really leisure. It's just taking things more slowly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends, because also, this is an interesting topic that we've now gotten ourselves into here. Okay, so just in terms of that, it's funny that you mentioned that, because like you said, there is more work involved in that.
Yeah.
They're trying to escape the hustle and grind of lots of work and pressure for something that's more probably labor intensive and more time consuming, yet slow. So
yeah.
Why do you think that would be? I have a theory on that, but I just want to hear yours before we go any further.
I think that they find, you know, I think that, how do I articulate it? Doing things quickly isn't always better.
I agree.
Let's say, take this cup of coffee, for example. Yeah. I used a K-cup.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that, it's not ideal, but it's efficient.
Yep.
And what about, you know, doing boiling your water in a kettle and doing a slow pour over coffee? Would that taste better? It might be. And it might be also an enriching experience in other ways. Like, you get the sounds, like the therapeutic sounds of the water pouring over the coffee grounds. Yeah. Yeah. You get the smell of the coffee brewing as it's brewing. It's a longer process, but it's more fulfilling in a way. And so I think that it's, they find fulfillment in doing things more slowly and appreciating the smaller moments in life.
They like the journey, not the destination.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. So that's your theory on it. Cause mine was similar to that in a way, except it's more like, I think it's in the direction of what I have found personally from the people that always want to do the step back and slow things down a bit. Mm-hmm. It's always people that have been doing things that they didn't want to do or that didn't align or somehow turned into something they didn't want to do.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Like,
that's what it seems like to me. Because a lot of times it seems like when people get complaining about, like, you know, they want to step back, they want to slow things down, it's usually because they're doing something they don't actually like to do. Mm-hmm. In general. Like, if you're a musician and you got a lot of practice to do and you got a lot of writing and stuff to do, but you enjoy it, you're going to want to put in that time and probably be, you know, maximizing as much as you possibly can, versus someone who started to hate it is now going to want to slow back, do something else. Does that make sense? That's the way I look at it, at least.
It's like me in social media.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, I used to post a lot.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I had to, and like, I don't really enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to post when I want to post. I don't want to have to push myself to be like, oh, I'm going to do it like so many times a week, because yeah, it's not something that I necessarily find value in.
Yeah. But at the same time, you also have to take it like with a grain of salt, because sometimes there's things you don't want to do that you need to do and you do have to push yourself to do. Like, exercise is one of them. Like, I don't want to fucking run when I get better. Like, I fucking hate it.
Right.
I'm gonna do it because I have to, because if I don't, I'm going to start gaining weight and I'm going to start feeling crappy and all the rest of it. And you know what I mean with that, with exercise, we all hate it.
I mean, I don't hate it. I
would
say,
off. You must hate it. Everybody fucking hates it. There's no way. Anyways.
No, I don't hate it.
You're one of the few
and
people.
And the thing is, like, I've got to, the thing with that and things like practicing your instrument.
Yeah.
Not optional things,
yeah,
you know, there are things that you just have to do.
Yeah.
And I've heard some people say this online, and I don't think it's the best way to articulate it, but they say that you just do the thing without thinking about it. You know,
yeah,
you don't think about whether you want to or not. Yeah. It's just something that you do, and it becomes that. So yeah, that's how I'm trying to look at working out and practicing my instrument. And although I do enjoy practicing my instrument and I enjoy learning new pieces and like reaching new goals and stuff like that,
if you don't
feel like it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. There's a purpose behind it, versus like with a lot of the hustle culture and stuff that we were mentioning, and the people wanted to slow down. I think it's more like, you know, they feel like they have to do something. It's now something that doesn't align with their goal or purpose or whatever that they originally had. And it's just like, they want to do something else, but they keep feeling like they have to, and then they get burnt out and all the rest of it.
Right.
So I think that's one of the key points, at least from the way I look at it, is a lot of times it seems like people are getting stuck into doing things that they don't feel they want to do or don't align with what they want to have accomplished in life, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. And maybe they don't, maybe they're doing things that they see other people doing that they think they should also be doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it doesn't really suit them personally.
Yeah. Like I got an example, like, when I used to work, like a number of years ago, like 15 years ago, 13 years ago, I used to work in restaurants. I liked working in restaurants. I didn't mind it. It was long hours. It was hard hours. You know, you had a lot of lifting to do. You had to do stupid stuff like wash dishes. You had to deal with fucking, you know, meat that's fucking, you know, and you gotta deal with grumpy people. You know, it was long hours, hot, you know, and you were dealing, you know, sometimes you'd injure yourself with a knife or whatever. So you get injured, splash yourself with grease, you know, so... Most people fucking hated that shit. They just absolutely hated it. I didn't mind it. Cooking wasn't my purpose or anything like that. But, you know, I didn't mind it because of the fact that, you know, I just didn't mind it. And I was willing to put in the long hours and everything like that because I wanted to make some cash and it seemed like a quick and easy way to do it to me. So I would get through like, you know, 12, 14 hour shifts, no problem. And other people would be at the end of the day, oh, I'm so tired and so burnt out. I hate it. So I think, again, it comes back to that. Does it align with what you want to do? And do you have a reason for doing it? You know what I mean? Do you have a comment on that before we go to the next part?
Well, a little bit, because sure. I do think that people who fixate on their bitterness and their hatred for what they're doing
are
going to be more tired.
Exactly. Because
it's exhausting to focus on that.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean that you're not right to be upset or angry or bitter.
Yep.
That's not what I'm trying to argue here. I'm not saying that it is or isn't right, but it is exhausting. And so it is a choice that you can make to constantly try not to be bitter, to try and not focus on the negative. And then, you know, that will help you not be exhausted.
Yep. Somewhat. Yep. 100%. So you wanted to go into personality types. What? So tell me what you wanted to say about personality types so I know what we're talking about here.
So I, this is kind of where I was getting when I was like people looking at other people, like looking at other people and trying to do exactly what they're doing and trying to force yourself into this, excuse me, this kind of like routine that this other person has. Which, for example, like seeing someone's morning routine is a really trendy YouTube video or social media topic. Like, oh, what's this person's morning routine?
Yeah, I hate those.
Yeah, and then I'll do that and then I'll be just as productive as them. And
never works.
It doesn't work. And what you have to realize is that you are unique. And I take this also like, I don't know whether I'm an extrovert or an introvert. I think I'm kind of in the middle. Every personality test I ever take always says like I'm right in the middle. But, you know, I'll look at an extrovert and be like, well, how can I be more extroverted? I want to be able to talk to people. And in new situations, in public situations, like the podcast's different. I have my questions. I'm all prepped for a conversation, but in like a real life situation, I want to be able to talk to people and go out and meet people. And how do I change my personality to be like that? And you can't. It's just, you are what you are. And if you don't try to understand yourself and try to respect who you are, you're going to possibly end up pushing yourself too far and not, you know, maybe you'll start a conversation and say stupid things because you weren't really prepared. And
we've never done that. Neither one of us. Neither one of us has ever done anything like that. Not once.
No, not us, but hypothetically.
Yeah, you know. We've never done that. Just out of curiosity though, you don't think the introverted or extrovert, or sorry, the introverted person can get extroverted if they want to? Because I think they could.
I don't think so. I think that, you know, you might be able to push it a couple points in the direction. Mm. You might be able to behave in a certain way.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, that's introversion versus extroversion. That's something that you're born with.
Interesting. Because
at least by the time you're in your 30s, like me, I don't think it's something you can change. I do think maybe I was more extroverted as a kid, and then I became more introverted.
Well, yeah, that, yeah, I think it can go in the reverse, because like with me, I mean, like I was beyond shy up until I was like 18. And then once I forced myself to start talking to people, like, I don't think I'm an extrovert, but I have to, my job is talking to people. That's my job. I fucking have to do it no matter what I do. If I go to a show, I have to schmooze with people. I don't like to do it, but I do it. So I don't know. So I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Change. Well, and that's kind of, that's 18. You said you kind of changed.
Probably. And so
that kind of fits into this. I kind of think that, you know, your prefrontal cortex or certain parts of your brain aren't fully formed until you're 25. So it's like up until the point of being 25, then maybe you can change certain things.
I don't know. I know I still hate to do it, but I force myself to do it. That's all I know. I'm not. So I don't like doing podcasts. We do podcasts every single week. I don't like talking to people. I have to talk to people.
You don't like doing the podcast?
Oh, no, that's not. Okay. Let me rephrase that. I don't like the idea of doing the podcast, but once we start doing the podcast, I don't mind doing the podcast, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So just in terms of personality types, though, so you're saying, just so I got this straight here, that introverts generally want to take things slower, while extroverts will want to be a little bit busier, correct?
I don't know if that's really what I'm saying. I'm just saying that's one aspect of personality types, right? There's so many ways to analyze personality.
I agree.
There's Myers-Briggs, there's the Big Five, there's, you know, what else ones? What other ones am I forgetting? There's more.
There's a zillion.
Enneagrams, whatever. Yep. There's like so many different ways of analyzing it. So I'm just saying that's one personality trait, for example, that you might want to, you know, understand who you are. And the other, you know, I don't know which personality traits are associated with industrialness, you know, being, I feel like that idea of just getting tasks done, industry, that's just a certain personality type. And so if you're not that personality type, you might just not find a lot of satisfaction from pursuing that kind of life. So maybe focus on more meaningful things, focus on doing the things that you want to do and doing them well.
Yep.
And then you might find that it's more satisfying.
So I have another, before we move on to the next part here, because I always like reading about personality types and stuff, even though right now I'm blanking on it all because I do have a cold. So just out of curiosity, you don't think that someone that has certain personality traits could change those personality traits then? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not a psychologist, but
I'm just asking your opinion.
My understanding from what, like, videos that I've watched and such, that you can't really change your personality type.
Interesting.
You can behave in certain ways, but it's not going to change who you are at your core.
Well, I can see that to a degree. At the same time, I think people can, because, I mean, you got things like, you can learn. I think if you can learn new skills, I think you could learn to change your personality at least a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, you know, I think you could.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe you can a little bit, but not like the opposite. Like,
I don't know, Aaliyah. You could turn into a stone cold killer, I think, pretty easily if you were triggered enough.
Would that be a change in personality?
Oh, wow. Wow. She admits it right on camera. I'm just kidding. Moving right on. So next thing we were talking about, respecting and understanding yourself. You want to go into that before?
Isn't that what I was just talking about?
No, not really. We were talking more about personality.
Understanding yourself. Okay, so like, take personality type tests, for example. Yep. Well, when we were kids, a lot of us really loved taking like little quizzes about like, oh, what kind of punk are you? What kind of goth are you? Like, whatever, like categorizing yourself. And people love taking personality types tests and finding out who they are.
Yep.
And why not use that to understand yourself, right? I mean, that's exactly what it's supposed to be doing. It's telling you things about yourself that you might not know consciously.
Yep.
So go ahead and take the personality tests, read what it says, and see how that applies to your life. And maybe it explains things that you didn't know why, like explains feelings that you're having that you didn't understand why you're having them. Maybe frustrations you're having with yourself. And maybe there are things that you need to learn to accept and work around or use as a strength.
I agree.
Rather than view as a weakness.
I agree. At the same token, there is a slight danger to it as well, because I've seen people take these and it says something pretty negative, and then they start focusing on those negative traits and they start amplifying the negative trait as a result, instead of looking like, oh, oops, I'm a bit cold. I should probably stop being so cold to people. Instead, they start.
Right. Yeah. You shouldn't use that as an excuse.
Exactly.
To be a terrible person.
Exactly. Like if you take the personality test and you find out that, you know, you're cold.
Which is why if I became a serial killer, it wouldn't be a change in personality. It would be something else.
It would be amplifying the results. Just kidding. But just going a little bit deeper on this here. So, I mean, so other than just using like personality tests and stuff to understand yourself, I think one thing that a lot of people have to do, and how this ties into the hustle culture versus balance type thing, is like, since we're talking primarily to musicians and people in the industry. So like, if you, for example, really want to be a successful musician or be in a successful band, but let's say that you do a personality test and it's like, well, you know, you don't really have ambition. That doesn't mean you should stop doing what you want to do in order to become a musician. What you want to do, what Aaliyah is saying, I think, unless I'm totally mishearing her, is that you want to then, if the personality test says that you have no ambition, start looking on ways to change your ambition. Correct?
Right. Well,
okay, good.
I mean, I...
Making sure.
Like, if your goals, I'm not sure which personality tests test ambition, but like...
There are ones, I've seen them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That wasn't something, a personality trait that I was thinking of. But if you don't find the things that you're doing meaningful, find a way to infuse them with meaning.
Good.
We'll go back to the example of working out, right? Yeah. Some people aren't able to do it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not. They're not able to motivate themselves by thinking, I want to be healthy for myself. Or I want to be healthy for aesthetic reasons. Or I want to be healthy so I can run a 5K. You know, it might seem all meaningless. Now, take that and say, oh, I want to be healthy for my children, for my family, so that I can live a longer life and a fuller life. And I'm not going to limit the people that I love by being unhealthy.
Yeah.
That might work for people that the other things don't.
But reversely, it might not for some people, and the other things looking more selfish might motivate me.
Well, and exactly. And so find the motivation that works for you.
That's
something that a lot of programs talk about, is finding your why early on in the process. And you know, this is something you want to do, music.
Yep.
Music isn't something that you're doing because it's not important to you. You're doing it because you want to. But maybe you have a hard time living up to your potential. And so to do that, think about your motivation, think about why you're doing it. And if those reasons why aren't working for you, try and brainstorm some new ideas of why. Why are you doing it?
I agree 100%. Anything else you want to cover on that before we go to the next part? Cool. So how much can you push yourself outside your comfort zone?
Right. Now, this is coming after you understand yourself and understanding your limitations. You do want to push those boundaries a little bit. You want to push yourself to accomplish more or to do better, like whether it's quality or quantity. You want to push yourself, just not too far. Right. So you got to test your boundaries and make sure that you're not pushing yourself too hard, but you are still pushing yourself.
Yeah, again, I think it kind of falls back again to who you are and what your level of, what's the right word I'm looking for here? It would be your level of speed internally that you can tolerate. Because like, again, if you got someone who's a little bit more slower, an introvert or whatever, and doesn't move at a fast pace, and they're pushing themselves I don't know, at a high speed, they're going to burn out really easily. But reversely, if you've got an extrovert and you try to get them to slow it down a little bit when they're already going 10 times the speed or whatever that everybody else is, it's just going to make things worse for
people. Well, you're going to get bored and you're going to get antsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I have happened to me too. So.
Exactly. Okay. So let's talk about ourselves for a second here, Aaliyah, because we're both insane on things. For those of you who don't know, Aaliyah barely ever takes a break ever. Although she would
probably. I'm trying to change that. No, I'm trying to change
But you that. Don't. You don't. I mean, I'm not trying to give you, I'm not trying to be mean to you or anything. I'm just saying it's a fact. I'm the same way. Like, I usually work every single day, at least on something, if not, you know, for a few hours, if nothing else, right? So, I mean, okay, so here's something that bothers me. Let's just talk about this for a second here. So, do you feel like a compulsion to work out of curiosity?
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes if I've been, but here's the thing I keep going back to, and you didn't know me at this time, but when the pandemic first hit and I was laid off temporarily from my, it was a temporary layoff first because they assumed that they would be bringing people back. But for months, I didn't have a job to go to. And all that time I spent doing nothing productive. And yeah, okay, current acceptance culture would say, oh, that's fine, you must have needed that break. But no, I don't feel, in retrospect, I don't feel good about it. I wish that I had used that time to do something productive, even a little bit.
There you go.
And so I would say I don't necessarily in the moment feel a compulsion, but I definitely struggle with, this is the difference between laziness and learning and understanding yourself and pushing yourself properly, right? So during that time, I would say that I was being lazy, not taking a needed break.
Yeah. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you feel a compulsion to work?
Not necessarily a compulsion, but I do feel like if I'm getting, I do notice when I am being lazy or I am not doing things that seem to be purposeful. For me, and I know you're kind of in the same boat, you're considered to be freelance, right? You're not considered to be an employee, correct? Or am I mistaken in that?
In my day job?
Yeah, you're not considered to be an employee, are you? Or you can
I'm full-time now.
Okay,
I got a new job, that job that I got laid off from, I don't work there anymore. I got a new job and
I thought they considered you a contractor. That's why I was asking the question. No. Okay. Never. Okay. Okay. This probably doesn't apply to you then. Cause I thought for some reason that you were considered a contractor where you worked. Okay. But for someone like me, I kind of feel like because of the fact that I don't have a steady income, no one's paying me. I should be looking for ways to be making income most days of the week, because if I'm not, I will be in a position where I will not be able to have an income. And then, so it's not a compulsion, it's more like I should be doing something to move the needle forward.
It's a sense of duty.
Yeah, more like a sense of duty, because if I'm not helping customers or if I'm not doing something that can lead C-squared to getting some income in the future, it could dry up, and then that wouldn't just affect me. It would affect you, Corey, Holly, Effie, you know, my own family and everybody else, right? So I don't know where I was going with this on that, but it's more like, for me, it's not a compulsion, but I guess, like you said, more like a duty type thing. Because if I was getting a regular paycheck, my viewpoint might be a little bit different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, but even when I also was getting a regular paycheck, I would take a little bit more time off and slack and stuff like that. But it's not a compulsion. It's more like just wanting to keep myself occupied versus getting bored, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
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 What's your thoughts?
Well, I guess how do you think people can tell if they're being lazy or if they're taking some needed time off?
Well, first of all, how do you know when you need time off? That's my question.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess I don't think people should be pushing themselves to the point of getting sick and like being forced to take a break. So I wouldn't say that that's how you should find out. So how can you find out?
I don't know, because lots of people, when they take a break, their break is like, you know, tearing down a house and building a fucking, you know, building shit. Like, that's not, to me, that's not a break.
Well, yeah. And I take like a vacation and I end up doing a ton of music work.
Yeah.
And I don't actually take a break.
Yeah. But that's your vacation, really. But you enjoy doing that. So again, what exactly is, how do you know, like, you need a rest? Like, I'm not sure, because like, for example, like if someone who's working, you know, 18 hours a day right now, they might, their hobby might be, you know, like I said, going and mowing lawns. It could be cutting down things, building things. Like, to me, that's not a break. I hate doing that shit. I wouldn't fucking want to do that shit. That wouldn't be a break to me.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe the answer it should be is to find the things that recharge you.
Yeah.
And the things that you enjoy, and try to do a little bit of them every day if you can, or a few times a week if you can't do every day, and do the things that recharge you and not drain you.
Well, what do you think those things would be that would recharge you? Because some people might say their recharging is just sitting around watching TV for 15 hours a day. Like, I can't do that. I could do it.
Well, if recharging is watching TV, then watch TV for like an hour.
Yeah.
Every few days, or like a few times a week, not 15 hours in one day.
Like, I couldn't do that.
Unless you're sick. If you're sick, if you're actually sick and you need to spend all day in bed, do give yourself that time.
I agree.
That's an exception, but that's generally not the rule.
Let's talk about that for a second if we're done that part. So, like, I've been sick I got sick on, what day did I get sick on? I think it was Tuesday, Monday. I don't fucking remember. It might have been Tuesday. So I've been sick since Tuesday. But I've still been working every day. So am I wrong in doing this, Leah? Like, I don't feel like I am.
I think so. But
you agreed to do this with me. You knew I was sick. So, hey, you're just as guilty as I am in this. You're helping me in this if you think I'm wrong. Anyways, go ahead.
I thought I would take this opportunity to preach at you.
Oh, is that what it was?
No. Okay. But I do think that it's not necessarily wrong, but I do think that sometimes people can recover quicker if they give themselves proper rest.
Obviously. True. Yeah. Like with me, my version of proper rest, like I'm usually not that great with sleeping. So my version of proper rest is sleeping in, which I've been doing. I've been sleeping in, I will have you know, instead of getting up at 6 or 6:30, I've been sleeping until 7:30, 7:45. I've been doing that. So, and this morning I slept till I think it was 8 o'clock, forced myself to, did that. So I think I've been pretty good on that. But like for me, like, I'm just not going to sit around. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
So here I want to go into quickly, like some things that you can do, things that you can incorporate to bring some more balance into your life.
Let's hear it.
I want to talk about, I'll bring it back to morning routines for a second, for example. Sure. There are some people who like to sleep in till the last second.
Yep.
Get up 15 minutes before they need to leave the house.
That was me.
And get out of there. I don't like that.
I used to love it.
My preferred morning routine, I like to get up an hour and a half to 2 hours before I need to leave.
Same, no?
Slowly wake up.
Same.
Make my coffee, watch some YouTube videos, and then leave.
Yep.
And it gives me some time to center myself in the morning. Yep. Yep. I don't think it's okay. You say you used to be the other way and now you're this way. Do you think it's a maturity thing or is it a personality type thing?
I think it's more just like in terms of goals and stuff like that. So I'll tell you when I started switching to that. So I used to work. I wasn't always working for myself, obviously, but when I wasn't working for myself and I lived in Vancouver, I would do the get up at the last second, get ready, you know, sleep in all the whole nine yards, be half asleep on the bus, going to work, drinking my coffee, reading whatever type of thing. Right. But once I started working for myself, I don't know what it was, but it just seemed like there was a different thing I had to do. So like for a while I was trying to get up at 5 a.m. thing, trying to get stuff done early, partly because I had little kids and they would wake up early and bother me and shit like that when I was trying to work. So that worked for a little bit. And then now what I do is I try to get up between 6 and 6:30 most days because of the fact, I want to get a run in now and try to get some exercise in because I was feeling like shit physically. So I was at almost 200 pounds last year. So now I've dropped like, I think 42 pounds, I think, in the last year, which was good. So I do that. I don't like doing it, but I do that just so that way I can have time to do that.
Yeah, you probably have more energy too.
Well, when I'm not sick, yeah, I do.
Right.
So, but yeah, I do that. And then, you know, that gives me enough time to, like, we have clients all over the world. So I that's kind of the reason why I like doing the way I do it like that. So did that answer your question or did I just ramble? I'm not really sure.
That's okay. I think it answered the question. I think, well, not really. It didn't, because I was kind of thinking before I brought up the topic, I was thinking, mm-hmm. Oh, maybe this is a personality types thing, right? Yeah. Like maybe some people just, like some people are night owls. Some people are early birds.
I used to be a night owl. Now I'm an early bird. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a personality. I think it's a personality type thing though, because I know that there are really, really successful musicians and successful people who are night owls, and they don't all get up in the morning. And like, there's a lot of, and I think that is kind of a hustle culture tenet, like always wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever and get stuff done. And
it's not always right.
That might not work for everybody. You know, maybe you're a night owl. Maybe you have more energy at night, follow your rhythms, listen to your body and like try and respect that in your actions. So that was kind of why I brought up that topic. And then one other thing I wanted to mention, I think a band that does, like, I think that you can approach things in seasons, which have been talked about before. You can like push yourself really hard to be productive during a marketing cycle for your album, or for example, and then you can scale things back and go take a rhythm to it. And one example I wanted to bring up for the rhythm and the seasons is Nightwish, because I know that for their writing sessions, they have a cabin that is out in the middle of nowhere, no distractions. And they go there for whatever, a couple months to record everything, to write everything, I should say. And I think that that's a, you know, obviously not everybody has a cottage in the middle of nowhere to do that.
Not at all.
But, you know, taking that time to set yourself at a distance from culture and from maybe take a social media break or whatever, and or an all media break, and just focus on your music and writing. I think that's really a great practice if you can incorporate it, or in what ways you can incorporate it.
You just hit the nail on the head with something. You know that?
I did.
Oh, you did. It comes down to focus, I think. Focusing on one thing at a time. Well, trying to focus on only a couple things versus doing all these things all at once. Because what you're talking about is focus, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And that would seem to me that might be part of the solution to the whole thing that we've been going over here, is that I think the hustle culture is trying to do too much. For some people, it's doing too
much. Make you focused all the time.
Well, no, it's making you focus on too many different things. But a person like you or me, who likes to get lots done, I think the difference is that we focus, at least I do, I focus on only a couple things when I'm getting a lot of things done versus tons of things. And I think you're right, even though I don't think you intended to say this, that if you focus on too many things at once, then you get burnt out and tired, versus if you focus on a few things and then you can work fast and do a lot of it, if that makes sense.
I think that that's part of it, but also sure. I think that one thing you can fall into is focusing on a few things, and then as soon as you finish a thing, you add another thing, and you just keep just going forever, and you can burn out that way too, instead of just doing like five things and then taking a break. But I'm not saying that that's the right number or anything, but like...
But, okay, so here, this is important, Alia. Now you're bringing up something very important here. So let me ask you this. So I agree with you. But I think there's also one thing that a lot of people don't think about, though, where they also get burnt out after they've accomplished what they want to get done, because then they don't have something else to go after next. So there's a balance here, because they, like, if you complete all your goals and you're done everything and now you got nothing to do, you're gonna fucking burn out. You know what I mean?
I don't know if that's quite it. I do think maybe if you don't, and that's not exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You know, cool. Like maybe, you know, it's okay if you have sort of amorphous goals at the end of your to-do list, right? And it's mm-hmm. like you take a break, but you know you have goals after that. And I don't know if you have to necessarily define those goals before you take a break, or if you can define those goals while you're taking a break. Like, what do you want to do in the next 6 months after you've taken this,
of course,
this pause? So, yeah, I don't know.
What I'm talking about is, like, let's say that Shield of Wings world had the goal of, they go platinum. That's their goal. I mean, nobody goes platinum anymore, but I'm just throwing it out there. So the goal is you guys go platinum, you go full force, boom, 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 boom. And that's all you're focused on is go platinum. You reach the goal. You have absolutely no other goal after that. I think you go, but if you did what you said, know that you're going to have something else to accomplish later, even though it's not clearly defined. I think then you could take the break and recharge. I don't know.
Because what can happen is if you have a goal and you accomplish it, and then it doesn't bring meaning to your life.
Like, well, there's just nothing to do.
It's this idea that your dreams can fail you, right? If you don't have the right goals. And if you put too much weight on accomplishing those goals and thinking that they're going to bring some kind of happiness or satisfaction or fulfillment, and then they don't, you know, it can be really depressing, and it can send you into a down cycle for sure.
I agree. I got one more thing I'm going to add to this, if you were okay with that, if we have enough time.
It depends if I agree with it or not. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, well, maybe not. So what do you think about the people, just because we were talking about this slightly the other day, just very slightly, I don't know if you remember or not, but about the people who sit there manifesting their goals and stuff. What do you think about that? Not working towards them and just doing the manifesting thing, just out of curiosity.
Well, I think that that's silly. I mean, I don't think you can do that.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do that. I mean, actually, I was just talking about this last night with someone that's not into the idea of manifesting at all.
Yep.
And talking about how they have actually... They were saying, like, well, I don't believe in manifesting, but, like, I do realize that if I set a goal and I envision it, and then I end up accomplishing it. And I'm like, right, because it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. When you envision something and then you work toward it, you can accomplish a lot more than you give yourself credit for.
Yeah.
But just sitting there thinking about it, daydreaming about it, that's not the same thing.
I agree. I was just curious to hear your thoughts on that, because you did bring up the idea of manifesting the other day, and there are a lot of people that just because we're talking about goals and stuff, that they can just think about the goal and then it's just gonna...
No, thinking about your goal, though, can help you stay focused. It can help you stay focused on doing things to accomplish that goal.
Yep. I think part of the problem, just as a side note, have you read The Secret before or no? You never read The Secret? Okay, you probably don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I'm probably not going to read it either.
You probably should at some point, because it's actually quite good, except it's a lot of people get misled by it, because they think that after reading it, it's just you think, and then it comes into being. But there's a key thing, like if you read the book that it's based on, because it was based on a book from, I think it was 1920 or 1915, I can't remember, called The Science of Getting Rich. A key concept that Rhonda Byrne doesn't bring up in there is that the guy says, think about it and keep it focused in your mind as a goal, but you have to do something in order to accomplish the goal.
So you're saying this is a thing that was mentioned in the book that inspired The Secret, but wasn't mentioned in The Secret?
Correct. Well, correct. And also my understanding, and I could be mistaken on this, because I remember reading The Secret first and going, okay, that doesn't really make a lot of sense, but okay, fine. A lot of people says it works for them, whatever, good for them. My understanding is that the original version of The Secret, the person that they had at first be the main source for it as well, also teaches the same thing, but then they cut that person out later. And the new version of it does not contain the information that this person had as well.
Doesn't it contain the important information?
No, it doesn't. So it's missing some very important stuff.
So I'm therefore, why should I read The Secret? It's
Well, it's got a good concept, but it's missing some information. You should probably, let me rephrase that. You should read the source material that The Secret is based upon, which is The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles, and I believe Abraham Hicks was the other thing that they took it from as well. So it's like, if you read those two things or listen to those two things, then you will get the full on it. But anyways, I just thought it was funny because we talked about manifesting the other day and we talked about hustle and goals and all the rest of that.
Yeah. And I think you can get into really muddy waters when you're talking about wealth, like yeah. financial wealth.
Yeah.
Because right. That's this thing in like a lot of religious circles as well, like the prosperity gospel. And if you have faith, you'll get rich. And like, it can get into really sticky waters and it gets really gimmicky and tacky and it's not true. But we're talking about what I'm talking about isn't specifically financial, tangible
goal.
It's just like, it's more like accomplishing the things you want to accomplish.
Yeah. Which is actually what a lot of the manifestation stuff is built on, just people kind of switch it into being all finance, but it's not in actual fact when you actually read again the source material on all this type of stuff. So anyways, just an aside. What else do we want to cover, Elliot? Are we good or what else?
I think we're good. I think, you know, I hope that I really just wanted this today to be a moment in time where we could talk about like resetting and paying attention to who you are and making sure that your goals are aligned with what will actually fulfill you and make sure that you're moving in the right direction. Take a second, step back, think about where you're at musically in your music career, where you want to go, what you want to do and why.
Yep. 100%.
And don't get caught up in just seeing what everyone else is doing and thinking you need to do that exact thing, because your music and yourself are unique.
That's key. Alrighty.
And with that, thank you everyone for listening. I hope this episode was uplifting in some way. And until next time, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.